You're listening to I Said What I Said, a sports podcast bringing you opinions not heard anywhere else. We cover everything in the world of football, basketball, and gambling. Now, stepping up to the mic, your hosts, Brad Wakai and Tyson Gentry.
Welcome to I Said What I Said, a sports podcast giving you opinions not heard anywhere else. I'm your host, Brad Wakai, alongside my co-host, Tyson Gentry. And Tyson, this is a new edition that we are running out here on I Said. We're going to be making fun of some draft grades because every single year, these geniuses sit behind their computer and they grade these guys on what was good, what's smart, even though these guys haven't played a single snap. So what we're going to do, we're going to look at the past ones. Tyson got a good compilation of some funny stuff. And then we'll go through some of the ones this year. I'm excited for that.
And I want to say, sorry, most of these are Chad Reeder, but that's just because he's the only one with the guts to put his name on something every year. So it's as much as us like making fun of him as using this as an example, because he has the guts to do it. If you want to call them draft process grades, it would fix the whole thing.
Yeah.
Like if it was like the process was good for these guys. But what they're really saying, all these people, is that they went against my big board. And it's just shut up.
Yeah. So a lot of it too, we know it's content and these guys are content guys, so you have to do it, which makes it even funnier when we get to make fun of them. So
But we're bored and out of ideas.
Right.
You want to talk about the Suns and the Sixers?
Yeah, that's the thing. That is the thing. All right, let's just get – for those who didn't listen, Tyson and I did the day two and day one thoughts all together, but just kind of combining everything, what did you think of the draft? I mean, Detroit set a record with the attendance. It was insane there. They're going to Green Bay next year. I mean, it just continues to be a spectacle. Take it from there. Take what you want from the players, the different organizations, but I'll throw it to you before jumping into these grades.
I had a coworker who was in Detroit – for the week at a conference, and she was a little bit taken aback why there was like it was hard to find parking near her hotel from what I could tell. And I was like, I have no idea why that could be. I don't know why there's 200,000 people in the middle of town right now. So that was just kind of funny. Apparently they showed out and everything. That's awesome. It's a show. Like when you watch the NBA draft or really any other organization, and then you watch the NFL draft, it's a different thing. This is they've been waiting 365 days to run this production. You know, it's one of the better kept secrets, I think, that you can jump between ESPN, NFL Network, or whoever else that you want, so you don't have to watch commercials and stuff like that. So you got to be quick on the remote, which isn't something that I like, because we're in front of the TV 8 hours on Saturday, basically, 4 or 5 on Friday, and then the 3 or 4 hour show Thursday night. So it's not the Super Bowl, man, but they drew more eyes than everything else 3 times.
Probably. I mean, it just continues to be a machine. And Roger Goodell said that the cities are being just as competitive now to host the draft and to host Super Bowls. And I don't think he's lying there. I mean, the amount of people that were there in Detroit, I mean, you can't tell me that wasn't a boost their local economy for the weekend. I mean, they were just hordes of fans from all over the country to watch some guy walk across the stage.
Who goes to the, like, we're sickos for even watching it, right? Because you wake up the next day and the whole thing's in the paper or online. Right. But who is traveling across the country to go to the draft? Who are these people? Because every team has their own little section of fans, and they're like 100 strong at least. All these. It's like, what kind of person you got to be to wake up in LA and then go, you know what I need to do? I have to go watch the third through or the day two of the NFL draft.
Oh, I know. And people wonder why the NFL continues to dominate. It's because of things like this. And you watch
the how long would you make it if you went? How long do you think you could make it?
Well, I'm watching the first round. I'm like, dude, like it's so packed. Like if you have to pee and you're in the middle of it, like, dude, that sounds like a nightmare to me. Plus, I can be on the couch. I don't have to worry about anything. I get to watch this. I get a better view. Like, come on.
Yeah, I'm not. I would never attend. And then if I was invited, I'm sneaking out after like 14. As soon as I can, I'm like, hey, man, I'm going back to the hotel.
Yeah, maybe what I would do, first overall pick, use that, maybe like the top five, use that as the bathroom break. Hopefully the Eagles are good enough where we know they're going to pick later in the draft. Then you come back for that one and you're like, all right, guys, I did it. See ya. I'm out.
I got to go.
So overall thoughts, though, just in general, like football side, Tyson, every single year you can see who the good front offices are process wise. You can see who the bad front offices are process wise. And it plays out every single time in this one. And we beat it to death a little bit, our day one and day two conversation. So if you haven't seen that, go and watch that. It's on YouTube and in our podcast feed. But that's mainly what I take away from it every single year. I'm like, oh, yeah, there's a reason why this franchise has been a joke. And, oh, yeah, there's a reason why they continue to make the playoffs and why they're always competing for their division.
It's hard to give benefit of the doubt to the people that haven't necessarily shown that they deserve it. And it's also like, you get reminded that this is some people's jobs, like on the line right now in the middle of mm-hmm. April for a sport that really runs August through February. It's a wild kind of thing.
All right, let's get into it. I can't wait for this. We're going to start making fun of some grades. So Tyson, like I said, has compiled some good ones from the past year. Sorry, Chad Reuter, but you know, it's just fun to look back and see. And because the other thing is too, it's not just his consensus. Like if you watch, and we're going to kind of go off of this, it's many of the same things that he's saying is what everybody's saying who does these grades. So let's pull up one that you got here, Tyson. Let's read it out and we'll go through it.
Well, I think our favorite example a year ago is the Detroit Lions had the consensus worst draft among experts. And if you need a little reminder, it was Jahmyr Gibbs at 12, reach. Jack Campbell at 18. You can't draft a middle linebacker that high. Sam Laporta at 34. I don't know. And then Brian Branch, 45. You don't even need to get into the rest of them. Like that was a home run. It's been a year. And that was the lowest one because LOL Lions.
Right. C+. I mean, they're day one. So Jahmyr Gibbs, 12, like, what are you doing? Positional value. Jack Campbell. Well, now, Campbell hasn't quite worked out like I think they hoped. But, again, it's a linebacker in the NFL. Some guys pop early. Some guys can pop late. I mean, maybe he has a great second year. Who knows? But I think the Jahmyr Gibbs thing just masked that. Their offense completely changed. And Laporta at 34. Come on. The guy was one of the top tight ends as soon as he stepped into the league. It's just that's getting you a C+. That's the C+.
Well, if that's a C+, then it always makes me laugh when these are the A's. Let's look at the Los Angeles Chargers with an A when they take Zion Johnson at 17, JT Woods, Isaiah Spiller, Jasser Taylor, Dean Leonard, a bunch of guys you don't play, right? And this is a consensus A, A on day one, A on day two, A on day three. This is I looked at my big board and I liked what they did.
JT Woods at 79, and then a running back later. It just come on, guys. And that's I don't understand how those are A's. Like, what are we grading the scale on? That's what I'm not quite getting.
So here's my favorite one, I think, of all time when we were looking today. And you might be going, you can't really judge off 2022 or 2023. It's too recent. Like, we don't know. Maybe some of those late round guys can play. Well, let's go to the Tennessee Titans, right? The year they traded AJ Brown. Just to jog people's memories here, this is a consensus A as well. That draft was Treylon Burks at 18, Roger McCreary, Malik Willis, Hassan Haskins, Chigakonkwo can play a little, Kyle Phillips, Theo Jackson, Chance Campbell. It cost two people their jobs, the general manager and the head coach, and this was graded because – Brad, what's the point of trading why would you pay a top-tier receiver if you could just draft one at 18? Like the Jaguars. Right. They paid Gabe Davis and then drafted wideout one in the draft, Ryan Thomas, this year. Not that we're going to, you know, get into too much making fun of them, but it is always funny. Well, that's the positions they needed. So, and they got the guys in the positions they needed. What more do you want?
Same thing with the Giants, right? Like, they draft Kayvon Thibodeau, number 5 overall. Yeah, he came on a little bit last year, but then Evan Neal, 2 picks later, he's a bust. Wando Robinson at 43. Okay, can play a little bit, but not quite the dynamic guy he was billed to be. You know, Joshua Zudu, guard, Cordell Flott, Daniel Bellinger. He's probably actually up there for some of the good ones. Micah McFadden, Dane Belton. Nope, don't worry, guys. This is an A-. You guys did great.
Here's the 2019 Philadelphia Eagles, and we're going to keep beating this just because it's fun. So this is a day one grade A, day two grade A, day three grade A, overall grade A. First round pick Andre Diller, no longer on the team. Penn State running back Miles Sanders in the second round was good for his first contract, no longer on the team. J.J. Arcega-Whiteside in the second round, number 57. He scored one touchdown when he recovered a fumble?
I think so, yeah.
to this point, Sharif Miller, 138. Clayton Thorson, 167. This is a draft class of 5 people. Who are no longer on the football team. It's been to the end of their first contracts, and this was A across the board.
It's just truly unbelievable.
For Andre Dillard. So you can't even go, well, the process was good.
I'm looking at this Denver Broncos one. Another A consensus. Noah Fant, no longer there. Dalton Rising, nope. Drew Locke, no longer there. Dremont Jones, no longer there. Justin Hollins, and then Juwan Winfrey. Where are the A's coming from here, Tyson? Like, we're going through this. I'm remembering this draft class. Was anybody sitting there like, man, the Broncos, they got great player after great player. I think Noah Fant, you know, he hasn't worked out quite as well. So you look at that, like, okay, good at 20. I can see maybe it's a position of need, could be an explosive player. But offensive lineman Reisner, Drew Locke, like, well, nobody was pounding the table for these guys.
You lost the plot there, because if you look at the bottom of that screenshot, they did pass on a chance to pick Devin Bush, who could have been a great addition. Have we seen Devin Bush's career, or was that just another guy that was supposed to go in the top 10? That's all to kind of get into today. Like, the Pittsburgh Steelers, A's across the board from pretty much everybody. Like, a couple of B's sprinkled in here. Everybody liked what the Bears did, the Eagles did, the Commanders did. We don't know a thing. We're not going to know a thing until these dudes put on the pads and at least get on the field this season. Like, if you want to cast judgment, at least give it to week 10. Like, Last year, that Lions draft sucked. And then it sucked when the season started because Jahmyr Gibbs wasn't popping off and Sam Laporta looked, like, pretty good, but that wasn't ever going to last. He's a rookie tight end. And then by the end of the season, it's like, oh, these are the best players on the NFC Championship game. Like, this is crazy.
Like, they should have gone to the Super Bowl, dude. Like, they were impact players on a team that should have made the Super Bowl. It's nuts. And I do think it's funny, you know, PFF, back-to-back A-pluses for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Guys, what have they done? What have they shown the past 2 years? I mean, you know, like, where's the impact coming from?
And the Chicago Bears, like, loved across the board for what, though? Like, we knew they were taking Caleb Williams, and then everybody in the country had Rome Odunze mocked there at 9. Those are the A's? Like, are we judging the other two picks where they got a punter and then somebody that I'm forgetting? Like, this was a minimal haul for a draft class, and it's A-plus across the board because they got who you thought they were going to get the whole time. I'm smart because this is who they had on my mock.
Right. That's the thing. That's what I'm curious about this. I do agree with you. If it's the process, you know, the draft processes, that's fine. Now, here's one that makes me laugh. So the Las Vegas Raiders, you know, you got some A's, A-minuses, some B's, B-pluses. I probably put their process somewhere in there. I mean, maybe, you know, C plus if you want to be nitpicky. But Sporting News has them as a D, and then Sports Illustrated has them as an A minus.
Next to each other.
Okay, then you got one as a D, one as a C minus, and you got one as an A, and you got one as B plus. Like, it's just so funny to me. What are we grading this on? Because it should be, you didn't like the Bowers pick, because that's probably the tilt there. If there's no way the rest of that can push you down from one pick from the best tight end in the draft class to a D just because of one pick. Like, I just don't get this stuff.
And we should probably give a shout out. It looks like this is from Twitter user Renee Bugner, however you say that. They compiled this list there. So thank you very much for that.
Yes.
But normally one of my biggest gripes kind of with draft grades is, like, it's a scale of a C plus to an A. Like, nobody's ever overly harsh on anybody. And I was saying that to you. And then I opened this up and the Atlanta Falcons have maybe the worst consensus draft grade I've ever seen, ever. And maybe everybody's right here, but, like, we're talking, it's C minus from PFF, D from PFN, D from TD Wire, D from Bleacher Report, D from Mel Kiper Jr. and ESPN, D minus from Yahoo Sports, D from USA Today. And then Sports Illustrated throws an A. Like, can we at least all get on the same page?
Right.
Although I appreciate, you know, sticking your neck out there and kind of going against consensus. All this to say that if Michael Penix Jr. can play, there's going to be a lot of people eating their words.
That's the thing, right? Like, if he can play, then we look back on it, it's like, these grades are stupid. We both ripped it because as a process, it doesn't make sense. That's what we were ripping. Penix could play and he could be good. But the process of handing Kirk Cousins that much money and then drafting this guy 8 overall just makes zero sense on the surface. And so we'll see. Here's another I'm loving here, Tyson. Just the range of outcomes here for the Vikings. A minuses, A's, C pluses, a lot of those, B minus, C's. What's the not to like, really? I think maybe that's the C plus. Maybe that's the lowest thing. What's not to like? But, like, I mean, you trade up and you get a corner. That's definitely of need. You get J.J. McCarthy, you flip the pick. You didn't have to go up to four. Like, is that what you're pissed about? Because if that happened, Tyson, is that an A then? Because they were aggressive? Like, no, you kept your draft capital. You did two first-round picks where you got a top five, four quarterback in this class, the one or two edge rusher in Dallas Turner, Kyrie Jackson from Oregon, because you don't have your two or three. So maybe that's what people are pissed about. I don't really know. And then you just kind of fill out the rest from there. But I think at the top, like, you got your quarterback, which you wanted and you needed. You didn't have to give up a ton. And then you got to draft an edge rusher who you want. Brian Flores, your defensive coordinator, once. Like, it's just funny to me. Really funny.
And then if you flip that, right, and you go against, like, the Vikings is a popular punching bag, you know, for a lot of these media members. They're not going to go against Howie Roseman, and we think he had a good draft. They're not going to go against Eric DaCosta in Baltimore. They're not going to go against Ballard in Indianapolis. And Baltimore and Indianapolis especially, like, what do they necessarily do here to warrant the top 10 grades besides, like, take the way that the board fell? And, yes, that's what good general managers do, and that's what good teams do. But you can't, on one hand, say – this is a C minus because they were swinging for the fences when they didn't have to, you know, or because they didn't swing for the fences when they should have. Like, you can't have both. So it's either you like it when they sit on their hands and take whoever, you know, Latu if you're the Colts, or Nate Wiggins if you're the, by the way, is Nate Wiggins a Baltimore Ravens football player?
Like, oh, he like fits it.
Again, and we were like, whatever they do, everyone's going to be like,
I said it, A minus.
And then as soon as it happened, I was just like, no way. Like, if this is the one spot this dude is going to show up and ball out of control. And so, like, all this to say that, you know, maybe they explain out the criteria at the top of their articles.
Maybe.
Don't click on them. Don't click on them. Who cares?
Right.
It doesn't matter. There's more interesting stuff that you could find on some random message board somewhere than some of these drafts. Although, I mean, Give them the clicks. They need, like, give them a little engagement.
I feel like
we're trying to drive it up if we can. It's the same thing with, like, the Maurice Jones-Drew mocks. It's like, yeah, he knows it sucks. Like, he's not serious. He just wants as much engagement as he can get.
I'm looking at the Colts right here, and it is funny because this is an A-plus from PFF. And right. You got Latu, who is had to medically retire, right, and has, like, neck questions. That's why people were like, you know, very productive, but I don't know. Then you have AD Mitchell, who falls to you in the second round. On the surface, great value. There's a reason he fell. I mean, Chris Ballard had to give an impasse on the fence of him. Other teams probably are like, no, we're good on that. You know, they let him fall
way below the rest. Like, there was that run on wide receivers, and then there was, like, that run on corners, and then there was a couple more receivers picked, and then he went.
Yeah. Matt Gonsalves. Pittsburgh.
Not what we thought was going to happen. Now, AD Mitchell was your, like, what was he, wideout five?
Yeah, wideout five. So, I know. I was surprised. But I'm just looking at the rest of this. Okay, so you get a tackle against Gonsalves from Pittsburgh. Big guy. We'll kind of see. I don't know. Didn't necessarily blow you away at Pittsburgh. Tanner Bordellini, the center from Wisconsin. And those are your 1, 2, 3, and 4 picks. Okay. But that's A+. Because, like you said, because the value, because Latu fell to you, okay, but there's a reason why he fell. AD Mitchell, there's a reason why he fell, but, you know, but you picked them, and they could have been way higher up the board in our draft process. Meanwhile, they're not interviewing any of these guys. They're sitting from their computer and ranking them. It's hilarious.
The Commanders came out of this thing with 47 new players to put on their roster. Like, they were picking every 15 seconds, it felt like. So if this isn't an A+ draft for the Washington, like, there's no way that they didn't come out of this thing with a couple long-term starters. And so, I mean, there is no second-round quarterback this year to drive people's grades down. That's normally kind of the staple. Oh, they reached on Jalen Hurts, or they reached on whoever in the second round. That was a bad pick. Shove them down. I'm wondering if the Saints are getting a little bit of hate for adding a fifth quarterback under contract with Spencer Rattler here, because if the Colts and the Ravens are up there for taking the draft the way it came, the Saints did the exact same thing for 3 days.
Well, you know, if you look at the Saints, right, it is funny because you got some A+, you got your Bs, and then you got some Cs, some Bs. So I don't know. Well, it's just funny. I just love the range of outcomes, how everybody looks at this thing. It's truly funny because, again, they haven't played a single snap in the NFL. You're just
you can tell going who forward. You can tell who never, like, watched Ricky Pearsall at Florida when you look at these San Francisco 49ers grades, because I think some of those are just like, what? Who?
Yeah, it's interesting. All right, well, that's kind of us making fun of the grades, Tyson.
That's
We need to go through it because I can't emphasize enough how funny I think it is. Because, and here's the other thing, instant evaluations. Like immediately, like these guys are sitting on a crew, loved it, hated it, that's an A, that's a C minus. Like it's just ridiculous.
If you're gonna just tell us about like the trades that were made in order for these things to take part. And obviously, you know, you have to do your job. So we get that. But just like the average grade this year, Brad, was a little bit higher than a B. And there's no way that all these teams walked out of here with it. What's a B draft? Two starters, probably?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. So you think 32 teams in the league are walking out of here with two starters? That's just not the way this thing works. There's some of these guys that aren't going to be able to play at all. Like, we're going to be looking back at this draft for whoever, pick a team out of the hat for the Bengals and going, oh, Amarius Mims never got it together. Burton, you know, there's a reason he transferred schools 100 times. We should have seen all this stuff coming. But right now they're sitting comfortably at like 11th aggregate grade.
All right. Well, that's enough of our session here. Let us know if you guys think we're idiots. You know, maybe you guys are like, no, this has to happen. These are smart stuff, and we love this stuff. I mean, again, it's content. We understand it. People got to put food on the table. But yeah, we love this every single year. So we wanted to bring something new to our YouTube and our podcast page where we can actually crap on these guys a little bit. So we'll have more content coming out here. Don't you worry. This isn't the only thing that we're going to do football wise. We got NBA playoffs going on. As we get through the first round, Tyson, I'll kind of take a little bit more of a look at that, project going forward. Both our teams are going to be cut and out because, you know, they're just losers and loser franchises. And that's what happens. So RIP Suns, RIP Sixers, but we already expected that. So stay tuned for all the content. Like, subscribe, and share. Socials at ISWIS_pod. We'll be back later this week, and we'll talk to y'all then, guys. Peace.
Thanks for listening to the I Said What I Said podcast. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. While you're there, please rate and review the show so others find out about the show. We'll catch you on the next episode of I Said What I Said.